Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And check us out on ESPN Plus. Come look at us. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got former NFL defensive back Darius Butler coming up in about 10 minutes here, part of the Man to Man podcast with Antoine Bethea. We're going to see what he's got. Quarterback's been on the move all offseason. Someone put out a list, so we got to get to that soon. And Christian Winfield going to stop by and get us hip to what's going on in Brooklyn tonight as James Harden out, but Kevin Durant back in the lineup. And Chinay, before we get to what's going on at the top of the draft, did you see this? Malika Andrews tweeted this out, our ESPN NBA reporter. A new mural going up across from the Barclays Center. It's a picture of James Harden sitting there looking very solemn with his big beard. Next to it, the quote says, "Where some see a scoring title, I see the possibilities of elevating those around me."
That is so, so Harden, maybe, kind of.
I can say, funny. Do you think he's got a hand in this? Because this feels like James Harden trying to slide this out here. And again, as the captain of the James Harden for MVP train, all aboard, I'm here for this. But it seems like this weird thing that always happens where people, especially all-time greats, want to make sure you know about all the different parts of them. Chinay, when like, the scoring title's great. James Harden's considered one of the best offensive weapons of all time. Like, this seems wildly unnecessary, but I don't know. I guess if you got billboard space and money, go off.
Right? That's it. I think this is a sort of kind of Brooklyn energy a little bit. Like, y'all are, we're going to appreciate what you guys don't because we got the energy to rock like that. Great mural. I don't think, he's not a public guy, so I don't think this is him. But it's just funny because the Nets are now, I believe, and I'm going to double check this, the betting favorite. And so we'll see how people are feeling. People are ready to crown them without them actually doing their thing.
But Janae, you know what? You're right, though. This is peak Brooklyn hipster energy, though. It's, oh, really? You like James Harden? Name his last three assists. Oh, wait.
What makes him great? Oh, he's elevating everyone else around him. That's what makes him great.
People don't talk enough about the point guard seasons. If you go back and look at some of those early times with Daryl Morey in Houston, he was actually an unbelievable distributor.
Actually, he really did show up in the playoffs. It just was that he had to do so much work to get him there that he absolutely ran out of gas, and that makes absolutely total sense.
Brooklyn is 100% built for this. You've just stumbled onto something here that's right. No wonder our ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes fits in so well with this crowd right here.
Elevated discussion. Is she hipster energy?
I feel like Mina's like smart enough to have some of that hipster to her.
That makes sense. Just Wall Street, like about to, money moves type of Mina.
Also very true. Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. So before we get to everything going on in Brooklyn, the top of the NFL draft today gets even more interesting because I'm looking up during our last break and I see our friends on NFL Live, Marcus Spears, all them sitting over and doing the show. Laura Rutledge is teeing them up. And I see this topic bar on the bottom of the screen as we're getting ready to talk about the fourth overall pick in the draft and who should be calling the Atlanta Falcons to try and make something happen because we've got 1, 2, and 3 looking like they're going to be quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is going to go to the Jags. Everyone seems to think Zach Wilson is going 2 to the Jets. And now that San Fran is at 3, we're pretty darn sure a quarterback is getting ready to sign there, which leaves Atlanta at 4. And I see this. On the bottom topic bar, it says Jerry Jones is, quote, infatuated with Kyle Pitts, per ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen. Chinay, the Dallas Cowboys are sitting at 10th overall in the draft. Jerry Jones is feeling froggy. Do you think there's any part of him that decides he wants to be the one that pushes up into the draft day party to jump for a guy like Kyle Pitts at 4?
I don't get it. I really don't get it. Most people are operating this offseason, whether it is the trades, with poker faces. Almost too good of poker faces that you're almost losing your players, whether you are Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers and those type of situations. And so, yeah, like we know you love them until you make a move to get to that position. That's when we know that love is real. And so that poker face, I just wonder sometimes, like, Jerry, what are we doing? The number one winner, though, is Kyle Pitts. Because we've been talking about these quarterbacks moving up and down, but the way we've been talking about him specifically might just be the biggest winner of them all.
He might be, because he's prompting the kind of conversations we're having now where there are some people. I was talking to Bomani Jones today on his podcast, The Right Time with Bomani Jones, that for a lot of people, you could even make the argument up near Trevor Lawrence that he's the 1B, that he's the second best player in this entire draft. And that's why Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning talking about the first non-quarterback to come up off the board. And is this going to be the ultimate trade bait?
I think if you're talking about a non-quarterback, you're talking about a smaller trade, right? So let's say the team right behind them. Let's say Cincinnati is worried. Let's say Cincinnati's locked in. Hypothetical. They're locked in on, say, Kyle Pitts, and they're worried somebody else is going to jump up to four and get him instead. Maybe Cincinnati makes that small move up from 5 to 4. Maybe Miami from 6 to 4 to get the guy they want. But I don't think it would be for if you're coming, like if you're coming from the teens to get to 4, you're going to have to pay that multiple first-round picks. And I just don't understand why you would do that for a non-quarterback.
And, Shanae, as we talk about this, I think – what Dan said there at the end, why would a team do that for a non-quarterback? I don't think that's what we've got to worry about. I think some people are going to be enamored enough with Kyle Pitts, but I think it's the teams like the Broncos that are trying to ensure they get their quarterback in this process, that are trying to ensure they don't have to pick from what's left of the bargain bin when they get to their point in the draft. I think that's still going to be a hard conversation to have with Atlanta. The more I sit here with it, we know you've got Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, and Devontae Smith, the four key weapons at the top of this draft. Moving back would be nice if you're Atlanta, but that's only if someone's going to offer you a haul. Because again, when I think about the weapons that tend to change football in the middle of the field, it's a dynamic tight end, and they're so few and far between. We are going to see more great receivers continue to pump out in the draft, Chanae. Because that position is the running back gets devalued and paid less money, and we see these offenses continue to spread out and get wider, we're going to see an influx of bodies just make sense, matriculate to the wideout position, so it's only right we're going to get more good ones. It's hard to find those tight end bodies. That's why we've been going to basketball for so long to get them half the time, because what you need at that spot does not always tend to come in easy-to-find packages, and Kyle Pitts is it.
And so when it comes to the positional argument, protection based on a team's need, weapons when it comes to receivers, and now the tight end position, you think that obviously Kyle Pitts is the best combination of all three of those things?
I think so, and I think circling all the way back to what we talked about, Jerry Jones at 10 being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. It seems like you're going to have to be in the top 4 or 5, because if Atlanta doesn't take him, we have a feeling that Cincinnati, even if they might be in the tackle market, looks at Kyle Pitts and says, man, that'd be cool for Joe Burrow to throw
Miami.
To. Right in his range. Miami, right? Like everyone down that list, you're going to start to see look like Kyle Pitts territory, look like any of these weapons. And so if you're in position to do that, I just don't see. Because if you're Atlanta and you drop down to 10, who knows what you're picking in that group? Who knows what you get out of that group? You're not going to get your first choice. You might not even get your second or third in that spot. I don't know how you can justify it unless that pick haul is so otherworldly that it starts to move you on that. And that's the beautiful position Atlanta's in now, where I think they can stand pat and make this happen. But we'll see if they get a kingmaker offer before this is all said and done. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. But coming up next, let's see what a guy who used to cover freaks like this has to say about the top weapons in this year's NFL draft. What's the worst nightmare for an NFL defensive back? Next, we'll hear from a great one on ESPN Radio on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae, I think one of the coolest things that's been happening in sports media right now has been, quite honestly, what's happened with you. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwumike. Because what we've seen happen sort of in real time right now are athletes getting tired of waiting, getting tired for someone else to tell their story, not wanting to wait around for all that. And so now you're a current WNBA player with a national radio show every day with a podcast called First Take, Her Take. All of these things that give you direct access in the way that we've seen with the guys over at The Uninterrupted, with the I Am Athlete podcast, with our next guest who we're going to talk to here in a minute, Darius Butler, and the Man to Man podcast. It's been amazing to kind of watch that evolution.
You had me really nervous when you said you. I was like, oh gosh, what'd I do? No. But you're right. Athletes are no longer waiting, and I love it on the field. right? Like, or on the court, you know, they're really seizing the moment with opportunity. But then also off the court, you're hearing a lot of anecdotes and personal stories and just real life experiences. And I think it only enhances the game overall.
It's been amazing because this happened for a long time when you think about Inside the NBA on TNT, when that show brought Charles Barkley over. It was his ability to be self-deprecating. It's traditionally been stories. Like, that was always what my dad told me is, your job as an analyst is to take people where they can't go, inside locker rooms they've never been a part of. But as we've seen time go along, there's been so much analytics infused into this. Having the numbers right because betting has become such an important part of sports, it's interesting to watch it kind of make another turn back to athletes doing storytelling on their own platforms. And we got an athlete joining us now who's been doing just that. 9-year NFL veteran Darius Butler, kind enough to join us here on Chiney and Golic Jr., co-host of the Man to Man pod that we mentioned before. And Darius, what's that experience been like for you? You're a guy that played a lot of football, proud UConn alum, but then to get the chance to, with another guy who played football in Antoine Bethea, tell your stories, tell them from your own voice on your own platform. What's that transition been like?
It's honestly been fun, and I didn't expect it. I don't think either one of us expected to be in this role, especially playing football. It's always about the team. You know, it feels odd talking about yourself or telling certain things. It just feels different, but it's fun. Like you said, fans enjoy it. They especially enjoy those stories. You know, those personal stories. For instance, we were talking about payment plan being changed in the NFL from 17 weeks to 36 weeks, and how that would have affected us as a rookie as opposed to an 8 or 9 year vet. So just hearing those different stories from our perspective, fans seem to love it. So I enjoy it as well.
Three things, Darius. One, great hat with DB on it. Two, I know you're a Husky fan, but, you know, obviously an alum. I went to Stanford, so I'm enjoying my day in the sun with the women's team. Had to do that. Rub it in your face. And three, do you want to respond to that at all or no?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? It was only right. We let someone else get a natty here. You know, we got plenty of them. You know, we go to Final Four every year. You know, I know you guys have been there a lot, but, you know, it's been a long, 29 years?
Hey, I think you're cutting out. You're cutting out, so I'm just going to go ahead with my football question, okay, Darius? Obviously, it's interesting conversations with the pros currently, but also the guys that are about to be pros. What are your thoughts overall on so much quarterback traction, especially within, like, the top 5 picks of the draft?
It's crazy. Just in the NFL, what's going on with the quarterback in our carousel? You know, I'm not used to this. You know, guys usually at least get a kind of a term to prove themselves. You know, but now it's getting turned over quick. And this these quarterbacks, man, it really depends on the team, who they like. And you know, Justin Fields was like the second guy in line pretty much his whole way through, and then now all these other guys are flying up. He's dropping down. It's really weird. You don't really know why. Any football player that you hear talking, guys that have been around the game, clearly sees Justin Fields being that second guy off the board. But you never know with these decision makers. But it's fun, though. It's at least fun. It's fun to talk about. And it will, on draft night, I feel like nothing will go as expected every year. So that's really the best part about it.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike, talking to NFL veteran defensive back Darius Butler, co-host of the Man to Man pod. And when you look at all these different quarterbacks, you mentioned Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, these guys that can all move around. Mac Jones has entered the conversation as more of a stationary guy. I know we talk about the trenches a lot for what offensive linemen prefer, D linemen, but as a defensive back, how does that affect you with a quarterback with extra mobility or a guy who you know has his feet stuck in the mud like Mac Jones?
Oh, I mean, it depends, because you're playing against a Tom Brady or a Peyton or a Drew. You know, those guys didn't have to leave the pocket to kill you, but they had so many reps under their belt. They've seen every coverage. They've seen every disguise. They have a feel for the game. They know the different coordinators. But when you're a young guy that's coming in and you're stationary, now you're kind of – obviously, the coordinators are going to dial up blitzes. We're going to dial up different coverages. You better have a pretty good – offensive line in front of you to protect you. Because if you don't, you'll be in trouble. But so when you're dealing with, as a defensive back, especially when you're dealing with those guys, even when they're young and they don't know what the hell is going on in the back end, they can always extend plays and make things happen. A Kyler Murray, a Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they can always extend plays and either kill you with a 20, 30-yard run. Or, you know, it's tough to cover in the back end. So if you got to cover for an extra second and a half, that can make all the difference. So being a young quarterback, while I'm still learning the game, having that extra mobility, it's just kind of an extra crutch until you kind of learn and get up to speed, like you kind of seen with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and all these other young guys.
And so you've got that stress coming from the quarterback, but let's go to the guys that you've got to cover, because we know there's a lot of great weapons at the top of this draft. But when you look at the players involved, Kyle Pitts, the freak tight end out of Florida, should he be the first non-quarterback that comes off the board in this draft?
It depends on who you are. If you're the Bengals, I would say no. You got to protect Joe Burrow. You got to protect your investment. Doesn't matter who's running around trying to catch passes if you can't protect that guy up front. But anybody outside of him, he should be the first pass catcher off the board, first non-quarterback. And because just the matchup problem that he brings the defenses out of the gate. You know, if you take a Jamar Chase or a Devontae Smith, you know, they're going to be matched up with the other team's best cover guy more times than not. But you take Kyle Pitts, he's going to be matched up with that team's third, fourth, sometimes fifth best cover guy, depending on where he lines up. So he's a walking mismatch. His wingspan is unbelievable, which means that catch radius, his athleticism, you've seen that in his pro day. So Pitts 100% should, in my opinion, be the first pass catcher off the board. But if you're the Bengals, you can't pass up on that guy from Oregon.
Penei Sewell going to be a big-time prospect, too. Freak athletes all over the top of this one. They're trying to get to where you were. 9 years in the NFL. Darius Butler with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. And a lot of that time spent with the Colts. I saw you put out a list, the top five quarterbacks on new teams or in a new role going into this season. And you had Carson Wentz at number two with the Colts. So what do you envision the marriage between him and Frank Reich looking like going into this next season in Indianapolis?
I feel like I'm very bullish. I use a stock term on Carson Wentz. Just getting back with Frank Reich, obviously, is comfortable. You know how important both of you guys know how important relationships are in this business, especially at the quarterback position when you're dealing with so many things, you know, outside of football. So being back with Frank, being with a guy he can lean on, he can trust. Being in the Midwest as well, this kid is from North Dakota, and going out to Philly, that's a completely different culture shock for not only him but his family. So being back in the Midwest, being with a young team that's going to embrace him, having a good O-line in front of him, having a stable of backs behind him, and then I think we'll see kind of a resurgence from T.Y. Hilton, and you got some other young pass catchers as well. So I think all the cards are there for Carson Wentz to turn it around. Obviously, you got to be mentally tough as a player and especially as a quarterback, and that's been probably the biggest red flag that I would put on Carson at this point. But like I said, he has the cards dealt to him. He just got to play him right, and I think he will.
And we will see how that looks, what the Colts put around him as we get closer and closer towards the draft, where people will be trying to get to where Darius Butler was for so long. Follow him on Twitter at Darius J. Butler. Check out the Man to Man pod with him and Antoine Bethea wherever you get your podcast. And Darius, we appreciate you joining the show, man.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you real soon, all right?
Hey, I appreciate y'all. Hey, and congratulations again, Shanae. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Very classy move right there, Darius. Appreciate you.
A proud Connecticut man joining the show here. We always got room for CT folks around here in the building, repping the proud UConn alum with us here on the show. All right, coming up next, though, as we're talking about players getting ready for the draft, talking about young talent in their respective leagues, we got another list that's rocking worlds. And I want to know from Shanae how much this gets read into in locker rooms still currently. We'll get to that next after this word from 303 Products.
So earlier in the show, Junior washed his car, and I guess I'm next now. And here's the question. Are you looking for professional level protection for your car's paint, but without the cost you'd pay for a professional detailer? New revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides just that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself in zero time, in no time. It leaves your car's finish in insane levels of shine and depth. Plus, the water beading is just absolutely crazy. Your car will never look better. It also helps to keep your car looking that way longer. The layer of protection helps to repel dust and fights off water spotting. It does this by making watershed quickly from the surface and lowering the surface temperature as well, so that the water doesn't end up drying on your car, that paint. It also is great to use on your car's glass, on your car's wheels, on your car's trim too. Maybe use it as lotion, maybe not. Okay, that's just me. Now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. That's 303radio.com. All right, so we put out a list, apparently, our company, of NBA players. And guess what? All hell broke loose. Was it a good John or a bad John? We'll get to that right after this on Today in Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio, streaming live. That's for you, Cliff, on ESPN Plus.
Today in Golden Jr., the podcast.
College basketball at it again. One coach out for doing what plenty of other coaches have been doing. We'll tell you the one biggest difference in the Valley of the Sun. Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Our thanks to Darius Butler, former NFL defensive back, kind enough to give us some time here. Proud UConn alum, Chinay, and I felt like he was pretty gracious when you brought up and threw the Stanford National Championship into his face.
I don't know why his sound just went so faint when he started talking about UConn and how they handed us a chance. Like I just had to step in there and just get us back on track.
Chinay, you know you were hitting him where it hurts, though, because like I've been in Connecticut since 1998. We don't have anything else. Like, this place lives, breathes, eats, and sleeps UConn women's basketball. And if you take that away from this place, the state economy crumbles. Like, the Yard Goats are doing the best they can to keep us afloat. But you
and
guys.
The Connecticut Sun.
And the Connecticut Sun. So, but you guys are taking a real big shot at the core of Connecticut's capitalism here.
I had to. I've been hearing it from everyone. UConn Huskies. UConn Huskies. I've been hearing that forever. Bleed blue, baby. All that type of stuff. And so now I can talk about my Stanford team for a little while, okay?
Chinay, listen, you don't got to tell me about that, all right? Again, I lived here in 2001 when Notre Dame and Ruth Riley and Muffet McGraw took home that first title in that spot. I walked into my fourth grade classroom, I think it was fourth or fifth grade classroom, that next day, dressed in a full leprechaun outfit, letting everybody know. Because being the lone Notre Dame fan in UConn country is hell on earth, and so I had to let these people feel my wrath.
I know your mom was ready for that moment. She's like, you're going to shine, Junior. Go and stretch your stuff.
I was ready, man. I was peacocking as much as a young fat kid could in that moment. It was incredible.
Wait, are there pictures?
We will have to go back and dig into the vault. My parents just did a move, so if there are pictures out there, we are going to be able to find them right now.
Yes, can't wait.
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and so UConn not at the top of that anymore, but let's get to the top of a list, Chinay, because I'm always curious about how these get perceived in pro locker rooms, because you know how it is. When you're coming up as a high school athlete and a recruit, I don't know about you, I was very cognizant of everything. The message boards were huge when we were kids. Your star rankings on all these different recruiting websites. And so you're paying attention. All right, where am I ranked in this class relative to some of my peers, relative to the other people committed with me in this spot? You kind of pay attention and you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really funny because I was that kid that was literally reading the message boards for my big sister who was at Stanford about to go to the WNBA draft, but she's like, I don't know. Like, should I go to the WNBA? I was like, sis, on the message boards, they're saying you're going to be a number one pick. We're doing this thing. I was that little younger sibling. But the cool thing is that by the time you get older, you know, me in the professional ranks, I don't even care what people say. I'm doing me, right? So you block it out. But there are NBA players that have called me out, Junior. They've called me out after. They're like, hey, I see you on TV. What you say about me? I see you're talking about my team. I won't name them because I love them still. But they've called me out. So they do use what people say, the list that we create, as motivation.
Oh, I'm sure, because like you said, especially when they know you're in the club. Like, you're a current athlete, but even former players, you get that all the time from guys that are cognizant because you live that life and you're supposed to know better. So, Chinay, tell me how this goes over when ESPN.com does a list of the top 25 players under 25 years old. Tell me how this goes. And no surprise, you see Luka Doncic at number one.
Makes sense.
Zion Williamson at number two.
Okay.
LaMelo Ball already up at number three.
That's pretty high.
Donovan Mitchell at number four.
Interesting.
All the way down at number 16, Trey Young checks in.
Oh.
How does that go over? Because, Chinay, I think if it were somewhere in the top 10, you could feel some type of way about it and move on. But how does this go over when all of a sudden it's something that feels egregious like this?
So there's two ways to think about it. From the player perspective, like, what, Trey Young? Yes, I know this man averages over 20 points per game, is a great three-point shooter. But he has just now this season, what we've seen the second half of the season, stepped into an environment where he's figuring out how to win. And so we can't grade his potential yet, really, because he's just starting it. So for him to be at 16, and if you're going to put like guys like Luka, who have been proven, mind you, in the same draft class at number one, of course, did you like that? Number one. Of course, this is going to be a little controversial. But at the same time, it's based on potential. Some people probably think we're seeing as good as it gets, maybe, for Trey. Athletes beg to differ. Some people might like it's sort of hard when you make that Luka Trey comparison, Junior, because we think Luka's going to be an MVP, so he's at number one of that list. But like, we also think that Trey Young's like going to be great too. So why is there such a great divide? Devin Booker is a little too low for my comfort zone at number eight, I think. Like, it's complicated.
I just look at this list, though, Chanae. Like, I'm looking at Trae Young down at 16, two spots behind Michael Porter Jr. Like, I don't know. That one just seems like a reach to me a little bit, but I'm looking at a couple of these spots, Chanae. So I'll fill in the blanks in the middle because we got through that top five. Ben Simmons at number seven. Devin Booker at number eight. I know that one was the one that you were interested in. Cliff, I bring you in on this. Philadelphia fan, you see Ben Simmons at seven for a guy that feels like we've already seen what could probably be his ceiling?
Ben Simmons is probably – he probably should be at four above – no, all right, probably five over
– over Jason Tatum?
Yeah, and Fox. Other than that, I mean, this list is actually kind of accurate, I guess. I mean, the Trae Young thing is he might be a little bit too low for my liking, but this list is –
oh, it's so complicated, though, because if you have Jason Tatum high up with potential, like meaning he's going to have more potential to cement himself, I mean, it just is hard to, because potential is so relative. Like, what we've seen from Jason Tatum got him an all-star this year, and what more is to come? Is it, like, doing what he's already done but then winning? Like, it's hard. Potential is extremely difficult to grade. I think this is a really interesting list because it forces us to put people into the conversation and put respect on their game right now who may not be getting that same respect. But man, it's complicated, Junior.
At Chanae, at Mike Golic Jr. I love these lists because, again, Chanae knows most of these guys, and so it gets very difficult for her to try and talk about all this because they will come after and ask what she's been saying, the opinions that she's been given. So bail her out at Chanae and at Mike Golic Jr., the best players, top five players under 25 in the NBA right now. Hit us with that. As we're talking about young players, as we're talking about people coming into the prime of their career, I want to also provide you guys an opportunity to come hang out with us. We're getting ready for the NFL draft like everybody else around here at Chanae and Golic Jr. We want to invite you to a virtual Q&A leading up to that draft. Join us on Thursday, April 13th at 8 o'clock Eastern. We're going to hop on Zoom and answer your questions. Been a bummer of a year. We didn't get to get out on the road, didn't get to see anybody here. And so now we want to do our best to try and make that happen. Registration is free, but space is limited. So register now at bit.ly/CGJ421. All lowercase, that's bit.ly/CGJ421. All lowercase. When you register, be sure to submit your questions. It can be about the draft, ask about the Bachelor, basketball, food, Chanae's dating life, all the stuff and the tea that gets spilled on First Take, Her Take. It's all fair game in this Q&A session. So, for a chance at that, we'll give you a shout-out. We'll answer that question live during the event. Check it all out. We're going to be posting it on our social media as well. Come register. It'd be fun to hang out with everybody. Fun to kick it. But coming up next, let's head back to the world of college athletics. One coach is out after another coach got a lifetime contract. What's the difference? I'm glad you asked. We'll tell you next on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Return for KD going to look like in Brooklyn. Christian Winfield going to join us in about 10 minutes. Break it all down as we slide one superstar out of that lineup, slide another one in. And Chanae, I'm sure they'll win 17 out of the next 20 games too, because that just seems to be how it's going to be for Brooklyn this year in the NBA.
You know how that ish goes. You know how that goes already.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We do know how that goes, and it seems to go one way pretty consistently. But it also seems to go one way pretty consistently in the level of college athletics. Chanae, we saw some news out of college basketball. Arizona has fired their men's basketball coach, Sean Miller, on that team. The school announced Wednesday he had 1 year left on his contract, and now their associate head coach, Jack Murphy, is going to serve as the interim head coach. We know what was going on at Arizona. We remember some of the things that were being investigated about that school. but we also see it happen elsewhere. Why is it different? Glad you asked. Time we explain in a segment called One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
One and Done is brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. So, Chiney, Sean Miller had been in Tucson since 2009. The Wildcats have been to the NCAA tournament 7 times, 3 Elite 8s. They've won at least a share of the Pac-12 championship up in the regular season 5 times. They also had a 2017 federal investigation into corruption in college basketball. And so, Chiney, I don't know if that's the part that's surprising, but the part that's weird for all of us is we know another coach in college basketball that was being investigated not too long ago by the NCAA and all these probes. Bill Self, who was just awarded a lifetime contract at Kansas. So, Chiney, what's the difference when we look at these two programs? Because it seems to boil down for me to one thing. Are you winning right now or are you not?
And that's exactly what it seems to be. It's very transparent. It's very abundantly clear. And I find it ironic because I was just on my phone in the break, Junior, and I saw Woj, he just reported, Sean Miller's immediate future is likely as an NBA assistant coach. At least one team expressed interest in the offseason, sources said. And now that he's left Arizona, it's expected Miller will move in that direction too in the offseason. Now, Junior, I think the greater discussion here is the fact that what a lot of the improprieties that the investigation was predicated on were payments to student athletes. Something that is actually likely, and I mean, obviously there's a lot of shadiness that happens with those payments, let's be real here. But the big premise is the payments to the athletes is something that is probably coming sooner rather than later. And now to see two institutions, two schools, sort of decide, all right, this is something that we are treating completely seriously versus this is something that we sort of are now recognizing as a problem. Hopefully we will avoid that problem moving forward. It's crazy to see these two decisions happen in real time. But now potentially Sean Miller moving to the NBA where athletes are paid, it's gonna be unique because like we're at the point where 1 year you're removed from being that athlete that could be in college and one and done and go to the pros, where the money resides is likely gonna be in both. But now that transition, you're seeing the good and you're seeing the bad, and the bad meaning someone has to be removed, but that person finding a landing spot somewhere that it's connected to.
Well, and I think removed because, all right, if the success doesn't continue, then it's a pretty easy spot to play moral high ground if you're the school and all of a sudden say, well, this is going on. It is very easy to look the other way on this kind of impropriety because, Chiney, it's the kind we all agree with. Like, players get money? Hell yeah. We're pretty much for that here. Give these guys a cut of what we're working hard to put on out there as the product. It's the other instances, the stuff that we talked about with Les Miles that was going on when he was at LSU, things that have to deal with crimes against women, the problems that come with those kind of power structures. That's the stuff we want to see punished. But in this instance, we all look at this and say, this is just the NCAA trying to have their last grasp of power. And so Arizona, I don't think, is firing him like any other institution would because of paying for players, because of playing the same game that most of college athletics is. Getting fired because he wasn't doing enough winning for them to continue to justify having to beat back those demons at the same time. That seems to be about what it is.
And this is where the problem resides. It's that it's under the guise of something else. Like, oh, there's a federal investigation. We're not sure because all of those things are happening so recently. So this could be the easy out, right? Instead of actually addressing what these issues are with those people, can you counsel like the way that we're seeing with Bill Self in Kansas? Or do you think that you, like you said, take the moral high ground and force this issue largely because your program's not in a place where you can have that leverage if you're a coach? And so that's the difference here. But man, it's crazy when you compare one and two and now see where everything is going with the Supreme Court now having to deliberate for the next few weeks. These issues will probably correct themselves very soon.
It will, and it's amazing, Chiney, you're right. The things that we look back now that, in theory, or at least in part, caused people to lose their jobs, caused players to lose eligibility, led to all of this hours and hours, and billable hours, by the way, for these lawyers, are eventually going to be things of the past because these are going to be players that now these brands can just walk over to and say, hey, we'd like to give you money for being really good at a sport. and that's all of a sudden going to be okay. It's like what we've seen in the drug policies in the NFL, how that's going to start to go away. It all makes it look rather ridiculous and transparent. Just remind yourself, your team is doing this for one reason and one reason only. They want to get away from this coach because they are not doing the coaching job anymore. The rest of that stuff is convenient moral high ground that comes up when they need it. But coming up next, let's head back out to Brooklyn. The enlightened takes of Nets fans. Hipster fans looking at their team, trying to find a way to justify what we're seeing right now. One star going out, one star coming in. How much changes with Kevin Durant back tonight? Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.